Hi guys.
Hi everyone.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Once Upon a Nigel podcast.
We've been away for a while.
Yes, we have been away. But if you didn't know, I'm Evelyn.
And I'm Lara.
Yes, and this is the podcast where we both go into the history of Nigeria, share our opinions, thoughts, musings on a very colourful history.
A very colourful history, or sometimes very lax colour. Who knows?
Who knows? That's what we
bring colour to it, where we lax in colour. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what we explore on this podcast. So for all our old listeners, we're glad to have you back. For our new listeners, welcome.
Welcome back. And we are in season two, so we made it.
Yeah.
we made it this far from the very first episode of season one, where this was just an adventure, and we haven't given up yet, so it's good to be back.
So this episode, we are going to review a really interesting film that had come out on Netflix not too long ago, and this is the film around a very famous woman in Nigeria's history. She's a woman of the north.
A northern woman?
A northern woman, a royal one.
Wow.
Yeah. Her name is Amina.
Queen Amina.
Queen Amina. And she's a character that I hadn't really known much about, actually. Yeah. So when I saw the trailer for the film, I was really intrigued and eager to learn about who she was.
What did you know about her before you watched the film? What was it that you...
I didn't know much, actually. I saw a trailer. I can't remember how I saw it. Maybe on Twitter or something. And it seemed like a higher quality production of film. I don't think I've ever seen a higher quality historical film or drama. And because it was on Netflix, I was quite intrigued. And all I knew, obviously, from the trailer is that she was a queen, that it is set in Hausa land, and that was about it, really. And I think I Googled something quickly, and I know the BBC had done a quick clip on her. They had done a series before.
Yeah. So the trailer for you was your first introduction to Queen Amina?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because when I was doing some research online, I realised that was the case for most people. And it was like, oh, wow, this woman from the north, Queen Amina. And it's like, oh, my African history. How come I didn't know about her? That's why I was asking. Because it seemed like while she might be known to some people, she isn't known to quite a lot of people. Mm. And I guess one thing this film has done is bring her to the center or to the forefront of people's mind where she wasn't before. But I mean, I grew up with the knowledge of Queen Amina from primary education in Nigeria, and I knew her name and I always knew of her existence, but I could only tell you like there was someone called Queen Amina, but I didn't really know much about her, or I don't remember what I was taught about her. I learnt about her alongside other people like King Jaja of Okoibo and all these other figures, but it was just, and I think something we'll come to talk about later, was it's nothing memorable. It was just a name for me until now, where...
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, we've spoken about it in the past before about the divide between the north and the south. I don't know how that has impacted, you know, the teaching of history in different parts of the country, because when I was researching about her, you know, there's a lot of legend around her and myth, and she's well famed in the north, and I imagine in the north they would know more about her. So the reason why I bring that up is because I think from what I've heard and what I've witnessed on social, there just seems to be an ignorance of each other in the north and the south. So I wonder if that plays, if there's any play into that.
Yeah, true. But then I guess because the Nigerian curriculum is the same across the country, it's, for me, I would firstly look in the education sector and just think, you know, what history are they teaching in Nigerian education, in the Nigerian curriculum, and what does that curriculum entail? Because, you know, if the entire country has the same curriculum, then it's like we're all learning about the same person. And so nobody should have passed through primary or secondary education in Nigeria without having at least a knowledge, an education knowledge of this figure. Then obviously the depth of knowledge that you might then have from proximity to the fact that you're from that state of origin of where that person was from will be slightly different, because you'll be like, oh, this person is from my town, or, you know, they're from the neighboring town, and we have this extra knowledge because of the historical proximity, as it were. But I don't know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but I always go back to just that Nigeria's lack of dedication to its own history. And that is reflected in the ignorance across all of Nigeria, really. Because I'll be surprised even how many Hausa people, you know, they might know about her, but it's just, it probably, like with myself, it's probably just a name to them.
Well, for all the Hausa listeners, engage with us. We want to know, like, what is the prominence of Queen Amina's story, you know, locally to you, if you're Hausa and still living in the north?
Yeah, that'll be good to know. But before we delve into her story and what you thought about the film, I guess with, you know, a film coming up about a famous woman like her, or a legend woman like her, biography, is it? Is that what you, a biopic? Is that what?
I would say so, but we can even delve into...
let's get into that later. But if there was a film about your life, who would you like to play you in the film?
Who would I like to play me? That's a good question. You know what? You know what weirdly comes to my mind? Even though she's clearly too old to do it now, a young Lauryn Hill from, like, you know, like her sister Act 2 days. Ooh. I'm like, you know what? Maybe a little bit of Lauryn. Maybe she can, you know.
I can see that.
I
can see that.
I don't know what that says about me projecting myself onto Lauryn Hill, but we can go with that. She's a talent.
No, she is. She is. Okay.
Who is you?
Who for me? Do you know what? I was struggling with this, but then the name that kept coming to my mind was Lupita. I just think, why not? You know, because obviously it has to be a black woman.
Yeah.
And she did. Obviously, in the Black Panther, yeah. I think of her and the character that she played. And obviously, she's got, you know, she's got depth, she's got breath in the sort of acting that she's done. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, that's strong. Because she's very, like, vocal. She's very, I don't know, just that proud black African woman. Yeah, I think she would do a good job.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what a biopic about my life would be like, but
maybe that's the
more interesting question. What would people say about you, or what would the film about your life entail?
It will be a biopic, right? What are the key things that I would want somebody to share? That is such a, like,
personal.
So let's go into our review of the film Amina. Netflix film. So how would you describe this film upon viewing it?
What, in one word? If I had to describe it in one word.
Yeah, try that. Or maybe like 2-3 words.
Underwhelming.
Oof, okay.
Underwhelming. Unfortunately so. Underwhelming. Yeah, that's the only word I'm going to use for now.
Wow, that's...
I'm sorry, it's not very good. It's not a good footing to start off, but I had so much expectation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why it's under... You know, I say it's underwhelming for me. I expected quite a lot. We don't have a lot of African biopic being, you know, put out there on a platform like Netflix. And for me, this was like a... It was like a rare opportunity, or such a golden opportunity, where I felt like I can't wait to see how this production is going to present this legend. And I don't mind from a creative perspective as well, because obviously given the time that she lived and also the lack of documentation really, about Nigeria's history, I expected that there would be some element of fiction and they would have to like fill in the gaps in the knowledge with a bit of fiction and creativity, but it was just lacking on so many levels for me. But I think I've said enough, so I'll let you say what you thought about it.
I would say it had a lot of potential. That's what I would say. In that, for the film of itself, we can get to historical accuracy later on. But as its own piece, I thought the outline of the narrative had some compelling potential. But it was the execution that was lacking for me and distracting from the story that was being told.
Mm-hmm.
Whether aspects of the story were real or not.
And that's the thing, I don't mind a bit of creative fiction and embellishing certain parts of her life in certain ways. But like you said, for me, it was the storytelling. I felt like it lacked depth. And I felt like the character development wasn't the best. So when I finished watching the film, I didn't feel a particular way about Amina. Like, it didn't leave me feeling like, oh, wow, what a powerful queen. And, you know, because that was what they were trying to portray. But I felt like it didn't quite deliver. So for me, it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. The first time I watched it, I was quite distracted. I found it difficult to keep up with what was going on. I don't know if that was because I was distracted or what, but then I watched it a second time. And what I felt or realized in the film was that it felt as though it was like an origin story of Amina, because I feel as though what is on the internet or the history of Amina is always after she became queen and how she went on to conquer many lands and regions. But this film felt as though it was about her childhood, her growing up, and how she developed her strength to get to the point where she then took on the title of queen. So I think that's when I had a bit more, what's the word, tolerance, maybe, for the lack of like strong storytelling.
When you think of like all the legends and the historical figures that are revered and sort of, you know, praised, I feel like each of them or most of them have motive and they have a mission, right? But when I review Amina's story, particularly how it was portrayed in the film, and I pick that against what I actually know of the historical, what is out there of a historical existence, I felt like it was lacking. I still can't put a mission. I don't know what her mission was. I don't know what it was she was trying to achieve. Like, oh, she conquered, you know, for 37 years of her rule, she was conquering towns, or she was just fighting. And I'm like, okay, to what end? What was she aiming to achieve? Now, we can deduce that from, you know, we can make some conclusions, you know, from certain things, but it's not very prominent in her story, what exactly she was aiming for.
So this is what I think helped on the second viewing of the film, because in the film, you know, obviously, disclaimer, spoilers, if you haven't seen
if
it.
If you haven't watched it, you're on your own.
Yeah. In the film, she has interaction with the priestess.
Yeah.
Right, in the film. And there's a scene where Amina and the priestess meet, and the priestess takes Amina to
the
cave of vision. And in that, I feel as though that's a key moment for Amina, because that's when she realizes that she has to protect Zazal in some form or fashion. And the priestess is sort of saying that this is your purpose. This is why you have to protect she's basically saying you have to protect Azazel somehow.
Yeah.
In that Cave of Vision scene. So that's her purpose, that's her mission. But I feel so because of the lack of quality of the production, I think that got lost because I missed that on the first viewing.
If we're delving into like the whole priestess situation and that cave and that mission to go and get, what was it, to go and get an eye or to get, go and get water from a, from a well.
To get the blood of Bayajida, I think.
Yeah, that was it. But then even then in the story, that then got lost in, okay, she got it. But then there was no progression to what happened with that. And that's fine. But, I mean, we have to recognize that as a fictional element of that story. Like, did that actually happen to her? I felt like in the bid to give her motive or to give her a mission, they've delved into this other world where I just felt like they could have done better and found something more. Because now it just makes it very fictional. It just takes away from the reality of actually this person. I think they could have done a better job with like giving her a motive, not like attaching it to this spiritual, mythical, otherworldly, you know, source, right? So for me, I felt like there were too many inaccuracies, I felt, based on what was actually known of her to how the film depicted her.
I think that's where the potential is. And I think it's the expectations you have of the film going into it probably will dictate a lot of how you feel about it. So when I watched it the second time and I started seeing all these extra things of like the priestesses appearing... The priestess was appearing as a bird and then she would just appear in front of, I think she would appear in front of the, like, Amina's father. And that was something I noticed on the second watching. Obviously, it's to highlight that she's of another world.
Yeah.
And then I saw the shadow of a bird and then she appeared. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a small
I mean, point. That's, yeah. You know, they've got the creative license to bring her to life however they want to bring her to life. But I think they needed to, like, balance it and bring do justice. But I think it was just not really balanced well.
Yeah. I think on the second view, I let go of all of that. I said, do you know what? I'm not watching this with historical accuracy in mind. I was like, you know what? This is just a fun, inspired by Amina film. This is not... we are trying to tell her story accurately. That's how
And I that's fine. It. And that's fine. But then, you know, from like the information that's available online, it's clear that she became queen after her brother died.
Yes.
So for me, even that piece, it's like there isn't a lot of information about her. So I would have really appreciated them making the most of what was available. So why was it that in the film her dad was king? Because if historically it was her brother who was king, then show us that.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to show like a generation or whatever, have a period of when her dad was king and then he died and then her brother became king. Just do like short, you know, whatever. But for me in the film, until I started reading about her and I thought, oh, it wasn't her father who was actually king before she became queen. Mm. It was her brother.
Yes.
And it was actually her younger brother.
Yes.
You know, I felt like that was such a...
That was a big thing
that they could have just portrayed that in the film.
Yeah, and I think that would have been far more interesting and compelling. Yeah. To see that dynamic of her trying to establish herself as queen. Because for her time, she was the first woman to take the position of queen. Because it was typically men who would take that role.
Yeah.
So that would have been... I mean, it was touched upon in the film towards the
I didn't even know she had a brother in the film. Little things like that. That was just like, listen, you can't erase, unless you want to tell a different story entirely, you can't just erase that part and not... And also, at the start of the film, where they had those gladiator type of
Yes, when the slaves, well, it was a soldier and I think a slave were fighting at the at the start of the film.
But it was a very kind of gladiator inspired, and again, how culturally
accurate
is this? You know, they could have, in using your imagination, you want to contextualize it to the local area.
Of course.
And you know what I mean? So I'm sure that they did have fights and stuff like that, but I'm fairly certain it wasn't in that sort of gladiator, whatever they were trying to portray. But then the other thing that I would have really loved in the film was for them to have spoken a bit more Hausa.
Yes, and that's something I wanted to touch upon as well. I was watching it, and I think obviously it's a choice that they made to film it in English because that's the wider audience. They'll reach more people if they speak in English. But I think they had a real opportunity to, you know, hire Hausa actors.
Yeah.
Speak in Hausa.
Yeah.
And we're in an age where people are opening up more and more to reading subtitles in films. I mean, when you think about some recent and really popular films like the South Korean film Parasite or
Squid Game.
And those have been really, really popular.
Exactly. And no one is even asking for you to do the entire film in Hausa. Like, there are loads of Nigerian films now where it's mostly in English, but then, you know, there's certain words, they just say it in Hausa, and you'd be like, oh, maybe if it's a hello or it's even a statement or something like that. But I felt like there was very little, if at all. I don't recall. They might have had...
There were a couple of words here and there, or maybe off in the distance. As like when you start to see...
As a background type of thing. But it wasn't substantial enough in the film. And I would have really appreciated that for a bit of, you know, for more...
Authenticity,
that's the word. Yeah. So I was slightly disappointed by the lack of infusion of the Hausa language. I did like the child who played the Amina child in terms of the acting.
Yes.
You
know, I think she was probably even a little bit more compelling than the
adult.
That was another interesting point that I wanted to raise, just in terms of the embellishment and the myth and legend around Amina. So there's a scene when she's a child and she has befriended another young slave girl.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Amina, I don't know how old she would be at the time, maybe
no
older than like 10
years
old. And there are slaves in their household and she's befriended a slave girl, and she wants to take... I in my notes, I wrote, did she take the slave girl as a pet? Because I have no idea why she wanted to hang out with her. I mean, obviously, children don't understand the nuance of, slavery. Anyway, she took this girl's slave, but while they were... the fight and the gladiator stuff was happening, at that age was quite bold.
Yeah.
And she steps to her father while he was in a meeting with his other courtiers, I suppose. And she challenged her father.
Yeah.
The Saraki and said, why have you not allowed this slave to finish his fight with the soldier?
Mm-hmm.
And they were really showing her power and
I guess conviction when it comes to character development, I guess that is they did a good job in developing the courage aspect of her person, where she had courage even from childhood to step up to certain people and ask questions and make certain decisions. So That was a part of a character that was developed in a sense, and we saw how that progressed. But when we come to like the historical inaccuracies and stuff, were there other things that you found in the film?
So there was a big thing around romance for her in the film.
Right.
And again, watching the film, ignorant of who I was watching the love story between her as an adult and the character Danjuma of the Igala
people.
And I had a question mark as to how accurate that was.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is that I thought, how sad is it that there needs to be this romance story so central to the film?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I read about her afterwards, that was not a prominent thing, if anything. I didn't find anything about her so-called relationship with this man. So the filmmakers felt there had to be a romantic element to this story for it to be compelling.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is true, actually. I think even from the, you know, little information we do have, she is big enough of a character to lead a film and to fill a feature film, like, on her own merits. Yeah, so those were my initial thoughts, that, oh, this is...
And even if they were going to portray some sort of romantic life that she had, it's so opposite of what is generally the legend about her, where she would take men, you know, every time she had a battle, she would capture a man and have her way with him and then slaughter him in the morning or whatever. So that's the legend about her. So it's like it's a question of, were they trying to present again this side of her, given the lack of detail about her personality, I guess they've tried to infuse their own...
Tried to give her perhaps a more human and relatable...
A more feminine, you know, personality, as it were, that she's capable of love and romance, and she wasn't just this hardened warrior, you know, she could... Because, again, it's known that Amina never got married and she never had children, and we can speak about that, what that meant for her, you know, why she made that kind of decision. Because I guess if you're going to be fighting for 37 years of your entire reign, how are you going to have time to look after your children and your family? You know, of what is expected of women in that time anyway. But one thing that I also noticed that I thought, when I was reading about her family and her father, the general consensus was that he reigned peacefully. Like, he tried to... He was quite diplomatic and he was quite peaceful in his approach. Then his brother, there wasn't really much said about how he reigned and what sort of approach he took. Then come to Amina, and then there's this like battle every year of her reign. And I'm thinking, and this kind of links to what I said earlier on, it's just lacking motive. Like, what is it, you know? What is it that you were fighting for? What is it? And I get the fact that, okay, you know, she was trying to expand the kingdoms and, you know, she captured this kingdom, captured that kingdom. And obviously the logic to that sort of
conquest
is that you gain more power, you gain more, your territory is larger. That's a basic, you know, we know that. But obviously with every battle comes a lot, you know, people die. And there's all this other like calamities and negativity around it. And it's like, for a woman like her, why would that be? Why did she not seek diplomacy? Why did she not seek peace, or, you know?
Well, I think that's interesting. I suppose the way she gained power at that time and gained territory, I think we can only, you know, project. But when I think about the way power is exercised today, it is primarily through violence.
Yeah.
You know, how the state exercises power. And violence is typically the male expression of exercising power.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, you know, I doubt she framed it or thought about it in this way, but the way to get power is to be violent, right? Especially if you're trying to expand your empire, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think her using violence to basically conquer all these new kingdoms was her
So could that be her motive then? She just wanted power. She just thought, oh, I'm queen now. This is my mission. I want it all for myself. Who knows? I don't know. So for me, that's just lacking. I feel like someone needs to develop a story that is more compelling for why she was... Because even when you do research, everyone's just like, oh, this Queen Amina, she was powerful. She reigned for 37 years. And for the 37... Was it 37 or 34 years?
34 years.
34 years. And she led an army of 20 foot soldiers.
20,000
soldiers. That's right. And just like, okay... And yeah, so I just found it quite underwhelming. You know, even the battle with the Igala people, they didn't really establish the conflict enough, like the reason for the conflict. I'm like, why are they fighting again? What is this? You know, what's the reason for the battle? Why have they, you know, all I saw was like the Igala slaves and there's this conflict and the king's right-hand man, what was his name? Madaki was going to betray the king and all of that stuff. I was like, okay. So, yeah, for me...
You weren't emotionally invested in even the political reasons for the division between...
I just didn't think that it was portrayed well enough. Like, I don't think it was substantiated enough for me to feel invested in it. Because I couldn't even pick a side. Like, when you're presented with those kind of scenarios, it's like, oh, who are you supporting? Whose mission are you supporting because of X, Y, Z? But I didn't feel like it was substantiated enough for me to even feel emotionally invested in any of the groups. But, yeah. So, her chanting, I am Amina, I fear nobody. I guess they were trying to again portray her courage and whatnot, but yeah, it was all right. it was all right.
As I said before, I think there was a lot of potential. I would have rather them done a shorter film.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done a short film under an hour and ups the production value, because I wasn't really convinced of the costumes. So yeah, shorter film. Reallocate the budget, hair and design, makeup. If you're coming from a point of view is that we're not trying to be historically accurate, we're just trying to have a fun play around with this person of history, then there could have been a lot that could have been done.
They could have done, and I'm, again, like I've said, I'll reiterate again, I'm all for your creative license and when you're, you know, when we're producing this kind of films, because again, when you have little knowledge, you are going to have to fill in your gaps with something, right? But it's when you even totally miss the historical knowledge that is established and you decide to now create your own whatever. It's just like, the film could have been Queen Shala, I don't know. It could have been anybody. It was just like, this does not resemble the basic knowledge that we know about this person, apart from the fact that she was fighting and she was a warrior, you know? But yeah, because again, for me, when I was like watching, I was comparing that with the lenses of like, you know, the other great women and queens or, you know, established historical female figures like Nana Asmal, and for them, or even Moremi, there's more like, there's an established motive for them, I felt, more than, you know, like why she's renowned for fighting and whatnot. I just didn't think it was anything. But all in all, I think it was a good attempt. Because we did say in first season that we want to see more educative, more engaging content that are historic, you know, of historical nature. And I think I give credit for attempt to bring her to life, because I think in one way, many people like yourself who didn't even, you know, whose first introduction to her was the film, I think it's done something in that regard. And I think that's a first step. that is a good step. And at least, even if the film was historically inaccurate, at least people can then go off to do their own research themselves and get a bit more knowledge into her. And the one thing that I also did notice was the kind of girl power vibe that it was giving, because like people online were like, oh, you know, Queen Amina, my name is Amina as well, you know, I was named after her. I was like, really? You probably didn't even know who she was. But it was kind of giving that sort of like, people were kind of like, you know, fansing with her and just, oh, you know, it's good to have a powerful, you know, she was a powerful woman, this and that. So it gave people a bit of, I don't know, what do you call it?
It sounds a little bit exasperated
it gave people a bit of pride, that's the word, African pride. Yeah, and you know, we'll take that.
I suppose so, we'll I think my final thoughts on the film are that it's a good attempt, and I am taking this film with a pinch of salt. And like I always like to say, I like to take a bird's eye view of how our nation is developing, in that the industry, Nollywood industry, is obviously not, it doesn't have the same production value that we're used to in many Western films, in terms of the quality of like writers, you know, editing, music, just all sorts of things that are relevant for the industry. And I see this again, like you said, as a good attempt at this. And it is pushing us closer to having better films made about these important figures. And so I'm glad that this film has been made.
I am.
And it's pushed me to, you know, discover and try and understand what is true and what is not true about the film. And obviously, we encourage our listeners who maybe know more about Amina, let us know in, you know, our social media, chat with us about that. And it's encouraged me to study more about Northern history, women in the North. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've neglected. So I'm glad that this film has encouraged me to study that area in a bit more depth.
So that is our sandwich review. I think, yeah, we've obviously talked about what didn't work so well. And credit to the producer of the film. I think we do need to encourage people to do this more. I do feel a bit bad by starting off with saying it was underwhelming, but that is my honest review. However, I do acknowledge that with the little resource that they probably had to work with, it was a good attempt and a very much needed one. And I guess this is going to be the shoulders on which other people who want to do historical whatever are going to stand. Because
it's and has us talking about it.
Exactly. So well done, producer. We appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening. And yeah, do follow us on all our social media platforms and like, share, encourage us. And yeah.
Yes, so I'm Evelyn.
And I'm Lara. Until next time.
Until next time.